Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. If you've never heard of this show, it's the first time you're tuning in. Every show I've ever done is up on the show blog. This is a show about inspiration and change and how to get through those hurdles in life that feel like major roadblocks. And sometimes, I often say, sometimes the worst thing that happened to you turns out to be the best thing that ever happened to you. And so I just want to share that with you. So if you want to head over to the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. There's every show I've ever done, hard to believe. And if you're not familiar with KUCI, head over to kuci.org. We have an eclectic mix of talent here at the station. All right. I have a very special show planned for you. On today's show, I am honoring Jacqueline Andrea Krischer. And I have her granddaughter, Lauren, standing by, who's going to pay tribute. But also, people have sent her stories and memories of Jackie. And Jackie just passed away on June 19th. And she was a dear friend of mine. I first met her in 2016. She starred in Claire Immler's documentary, Jackie Krischer. Jackie Krischer, No Limits. And if you want to hear that very first interview after we wrap today, it is on the show blog. I put it right next to today's show. Again, that's getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And I'm going to bring Lauren on right now. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning, Janine.
Thank you for calling in, and I'm so happy we can do this together.
So am I. This is a really special opportunity to talk about my grandma, who was quite the character.
Yes.
So I appreciate you having me on.
Well, as I told listeners, so I first met her in 2016 when she was in Claire Immler's documentary, and when I met her in person, she's just like this little powerhouse of energy and inspiration. And so I want to back up a second for those who don't know your grandmother. Tell us a little bit about her.
Yeah. Like you said, most people know her from her work with the LLS, the Leukemia Society, and her team in training, fundraising, and that kind of thing. She's kind of spent like the last 20 years of her life doing that, really. You know, the story of her life is pretty remarkable. It's really a story of, she had so much resilience and determination.
Mm-hmm.
She grew up, in World War II era France. She grew up on a little farm out there in kind of south central France, and she had 8 brothers and sisters. So there were a lot of kids, so many kids. And she was pretty close with all her siblings too. They had, you know, lots of goats and chickens, all kinds of animals. And so she's always loved animals. She especially loved dogs. And, she even till the very last days of her life, she loved a good puppy. So, but she described herself as a tomboy. She just loved to climb trees and run around and play with her brothers and sisters. She was always griping about how when she was young, the girls weren't allowed to play soccer with the boys. And so she was left to just fetch the balls when they'd get kicked off into the forest or whatever. And so she'd run and fetch it and then bring it back. And that was kind of the extent of her participation in sport.
That's so funny.
But, you know, her brothers got to play and she got to watch. But she always liked to play soccer with my son. And actually, up until 5 weeks before she passed, she was in the backyard playing soccer with my son.
Was she really?
That's just how much energy she had. So,
Lauren, can you tell listeners, how tall was your grandmother?
My grandma, I think she was 4'10", 4'11".
Yes.
So under 5 feet, very small.
She's adorable.
And she was just this tiny little thing, but she made up for it with her energy because we always joked, my mom and dad and I were like, man, this woman has more energy than all of us combined.
I know.
I don't know where it comes from, but.
I know.
She's just a little energizer bunny. So, I don't know. She just channeled it and, you know, used that to do whatever she wanted to do.
Well, so. And I want to add something because I remember her telling me when we started talking, both on my show and in person, that I think she was married or in a relationship. I think she was married. And I remember she said, she was told, oh, you can't do that, or you can't swim, or you can't run. What do you, who are you kidding? And she was, she had this attitude of like, yeah, I'll show you. And she went off and did it.
Yeah. Yeah. It, and that was kind of her MO, right? Is mm-hmm. anytime somebody told her that she couldn't or shouldn't do something, she, it made her want to do it all the more.
Yes.
And so she just kind of took that, that and channeled it into productive energy, I suppose. And she didn't let anybody tell her what she couldn't do. She, if she had something in her head, she was making it happen.
I love that.
Yeah.
Which is a great lesson for any of us at any age. You know, don't let an opinion, someone else's opinion of you, stop you from doing what you deeply want to do. You don't need someone else's encouragement. Just do what you believe is right.
Right. And especially for those who know her through the her marathons, team and training, all that kind of stuff, a lot of people didn't know that she did not know how to swim before she did her first triathlon.
Right.
And so at age 82, she, you know, had this opportunity to do this triathlon, the Newport Beach Triathlon. And she's like, well, I want to do it, but I don't know how to swim. And when I was young, she would take me to her pool, and she'd let me swim, and she would cling to the side of the pool. She didn't want to even go where it was like 4 feet deep, because, again, she's only 4'10".
Yes.
You know, she didn't have much of a buffer there.
Of course.
And so she would just kind of cling to the edge or sit on the steps, and she'd watch me swim. You know, so she just didn't swim. And so at 82, she's like, all right, well, if I want to do this triathlon, I got to learn how to swim. And she took swimming lessons and learned how to swim, and then completed this triathlon. And this is an open water triathlon. So swimming in open water is a lot different than swimming in a pool.
It and, sure is.
You know, we were all worried about it. But, you know, she wanted to do it, and she did it. And she shocked us all, and you know, it was something I'm still so proud of her for, because it was a lot of work
and a
lot of mental blocks to overcome too.
Yes, yeah, I know she had a lot of phobias of the water at first, even putting her head under the water. I remember her telling me, and I love though, Lauren, how it took this first experience, and then it opened up a whole world of things she wanted to compete in and try, and you know, it's a stellar.
Right. Right, and just the amount of energy she had, and not just to even do the training that was needed to do these marathons, these triathlons. She did a couple biking events. She did a lot of hikes, and so obviously this is very physically demanding, but you know, all the fundraising that went along with it. I got an email from the Leukemia Society about a week and a half ago, and they were just kind of, you know, telling me how much of an impact she had made. And so I asked them, I said, any idea how much she's raised in the amount of time that she was involved in the Leukemia Society? And she started in 2002 until about, I think she stopped in 2018, 2019, just before COVID hit.
Okay.
And they told me they only have records from 2010 and forward. So about half of her time in the leukemia, like doing the fundraising.
Yes.
And she had raised over, well, closer to $19,000.
Whoa.
Just in 8 years and I think 7 events. And so, you know, that's about $2,600, I think, per event. So a lot of money.
Yes, a lot of money.
I can't even imagine what it would have been before, in the 8 years before. And so it's just a big impact. And she was a great fundraiser, too. She had no problem just going out on the street and talking to people.
Well, how could you say no to her?
No, she's so
come
cute
on.
Her accent, and people just loved her, and she had this way of just, she'd meet people in like waiting in line at the bank, or she'd be talking to the lady stocking the shelves at Trader Joe's, and you know, in 5 minutes they'd be best friends, and she'd be like, take a picture of me and my new friend. And so I have all these like random pictures of her with people that she's met just, you know, on the street.
Yes.
And just, that's how people kind of got to know her a lot of the times, is she just put herself out there, and then she'd make friends, and next thing you know, they're going out and celebrating birthdays and stuff together.
I love it.
So she was just so good at connecting with people. So
she really was. And you know, you could just sit back and watch her, how she engages in conversation. And right now, there's a lot of people that are very uncomfortable in conversation post-pandemic.
Right.
And
right.
She really taught me about just, you know, you can compliment someone. You could just be kind and anything. And I remember, I have this great memory of her, Lauren, where I had not seen her for a while. And I went to pick her up. And I think it was at Claire's house here. And she came running down the hill, running down the street into my arms. I thought, how old are you? You're adorable. It was just so cute. This is just like a couple years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She had all that energy almost to the very, very end. And again, I don't know where it came from, but she just...
That's beautiful.
I don't know. I think she just had a lot of things that she wanted to do, and she needed the energy to do them. And, you know, even at 91 years old, she would have been 92 in August, she still had a pretty big list of all the things she wanted to do and see. And, you know, it's something that her and I talked about over the last few weeks of her life.
I love
it's just, she's like, oh, I won't get to do this, but I won't get to do that. I'm like, Grandma, but I get that. It's hard to get to the end of your life and feel like you have some regrets about things that you didn't get to do. And I think that we're probably all going to have a little bit of leftover items on our to-do list, right? But she got to do so many big things, and she made such an impact. And I don't think I even realized how much of an impact she had made until I had just dozens of people calling and texting and messaging. And like, oh man, like for me, she was just grandma. And I was just kind of used to her, and she's always been in my life, and she's, you know, she's been around, and, you know, and I was aware of all the things she did, but, I think that it was so normalized for me as the grandkid. And,
Of course,
you know, it's just nice to know that she made such an impact on so many people.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I just want to tell listeners. So, today I am honoring, Jacqueline Andrea. Did she pronounce her middle name Andrea or Andrea, Lauren?
Andrea,
excuse me.
Yeah.
Krischer. Yeah. And I'm speaking with Lauren, her granddaughter, and we're paying tribute to Jackie, who passed away June 19th. And we have someone else calling in, not just yet, but in a few minutes. Someone who I think you said trained with her in triathlons?
Yeah, I know Vicky has trained with her. She's definitely there for the triathlon and even before that. Vicky's great. I believe Vicky is also a leukemia cancer survivor. And so I think there are actually several leukemia survivors in the teams of training. And so it's a really cool organization wanted to look into it.
Yeah.
They do a lot of cool stuff.
No, that's great. And so we didn't say why this was so important to Jackie.
Yeah, so, well, what happened was in the early 2000s, I had a cousin who was born with leukemia. His name was Jacob. And, you know, my grandma obviously knew about it. She found out, and she was like, man, what can I do? What can I do? And so she started, I guess, looking around at different ways to get involved, or different ways to raise money. And she found the Leukemia Society and the team in training. She's like, all right, well, I'm going to run a marathon and raise some money for leukemia research. And I was just a teenager at the time.
Yes.
And her first marathon she ran in Maui. And she did phenomenally. She was about 72 years old. And again, I don't know how much money she raised from 2002 to 2010, but I'm sure it was quite a chunk of change for cancer research. But anyways, she just was a great support. My cousin is now cancer-free. He's, I think he's 21, maybe. Don't quote me on that. But
That's beautiful.
He's doing great. He's fully grown and a great kid.
I love that.
She was just so excited to make an impact.
Yeah,
right.
I think it's wonderful. I also want to give a shout out to all of your friends and family, because the tributes that have come pouring in when you posted the news that she had passed away, the beautiful tributes and the pictures and your grandmother dancing and just thriving, and it's beautiful.
Right. And like I said, I think that I was she was normalized for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I had her almost every day, and especially the last 5 months, we lived 10 minutes from each other. And so, you know, we got to go to lunch, we got to go grocery shopping together, she got to come and just hang out when the kids got home from school. And so we were just, like, living our normal lives and doing normal things.
So
and,
special.
You know, she's just grandma. And then, you know, when she passes, just so many, I've gotten so many messages, Janine, and just people sharing stories of experiences they had with her that I had never heard before, because she, you know, didn't tell me every little tiny detail, but
sure.
It was really, really neat and really special to hear from so many people about very specific experiences that they had with her, which she would have loved to hear.
That's beautiful.
And I'm sure she knew it. They talked. Yeah. She talked to her friends.
I love that. So Lauren, I'm going to have you stand by for just a moment, because I know Vicky's going to call in, and I want to just make sure we have her on the line, and then I'll bring you both back on in just a moment.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Janine.
Sure. Stand by. I've been speaking with Lauren, Jackie Krischer's granddaughter. We're paying tribute to Jackie. What an inspiration. I know there are days I think, oh, I'm too tired to do this or that or whatever. And then I think of Jackie, training in her 80s, you know, swimming, becoming a triathlete, just outstanding. If you want to know more while we go to break about Jackie, I put all the information on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. We will be back in just a moment. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Okay, we're just waiting for Vicky. I was just wondering if you would share maybe a life lesson that you feel that, well, I mean, there's probably a lot, but maybe in a moment of your life when you were going through a funk, after all, the show is called Get the Funk Out.
Right, right.
And something your grandmother said, did she have any kind of mantra or anything that you'd want to share?
Well, honestly, so many. And even as I was, like, writing down notes, at first, when you said that you had, you know, like 55 minutes or whatever, I was like, oh, I don't know if I even can fill that much time. But then as I started writing things down, I was like, oh my, I don't know if 55 minutes will be enough time. And so, you know, how do you sum up 91 years in that short of time? Right. But, one thing I've been thinking about, especially a lot lately, as I've been able to spend so much time with her in the last 5 to 6 months, is, something she always said, over a meal, we always love to eat together. And we'd be sitting, we'd be sharing this meal, and she'd look at me and she said, this is the best I've ever had. Like, we'd be eating tacos or a salad or fajitas, you know, whatever it was. And she'd look at me and she'd say, the best I've ever had. I'm like, Grandma, you say that every time that we have something to eat. She would just be like, well, yeah, well, this one is even better than the last. And so that's something I've been really kind of digging into, I guess, is that, you know, she just focused on what was right in front of her. And that kind of translated into other aspects of her life too, right? And just, she was just able to sit and enjoy and just be present with whatever it was that she was doing. Mm-hmm. And she just loved it. And so that's kind of something I've been kind of trying to internalize. It's like, this is the best I've ever had. Mm-hmm. And whether it's a meal, a good meal, or, you know, a night out spent with friends, or a holiday, a vacation, you know, whatever it is just being present and enjoying something so deeply while you're doing it. And I think that's part of the reason why she was able to have so much energy for the things that she cared about and to do the things that she wanted to do, is because she just poured herself fully into whatever it was that she was doing while she was doing it. And so, that's one thing that she's taught me among many, really.
Among many. I love that. I wanted to remember a a really funny thing that happened, because you probably don't know this. Wasn't there a period of time when she was, she had like a special blender, like a Vitamix or something, right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. So a couple years back, I said, let's talk. You know, she says, oh, let's FaceTime. And she's in her kitchen. She's like, I want to show you my Vitamix. And she's making, you know, this concoction while we were talking. It was so cute. Oh.
Well, you know, one thing about that blender, Janine, my husband and I lived with my grandma for a time. And this was while she was doing was part of a CrossFit gym for many years.
Oh, wait, let me interject. I think we have Vicky standing by. So
we have Vicky. Okay. Yeah, all right. We'll pause.
Stand by. Okay. All right. Stand by, everyone. We're going to bring Vicky on in just a moment. All right, we are back. I got everything worked out. I'm going to bring Vicky and Lauren back on. Hi, ladies.
Hi. Good morning.
Oh, great. I have both of you. Good morning.
Hi, Vicky.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Doing good. Excited for you to be here, Vicky.
Me too. Vicky,
thank you.
Sure, Vicky.
It's an honor.
Oh. Where are you calling in from, Vicky?
I live in Mission Viejo.
Oh, so close. Okay, perfect.
Right close to where Jackie used to live in Laguna Woods, and she lived in Lake Forest. So
that's right.
I would pick her up to go places, and anyway, close to where Jackie lived.
Okay. So tell me how you met Jackie.
I'm trying to remember. First of all, Jackie was ageless. So when I met her, it was through our mutual friend Jennifer Schramo, who was our coach for Team in Training. Mm-hmm. And that was many years ago, I want to say 15 at least. And so everybody who had wanted to raise money for Team in Training for Leukemia Lymphoma Society met with our coach to do our half marathons or marathons, and Jackie was there.
Okay.
And Jackie was there because of her nephew. So she lived near me. So we became running buddies, and I would pick her up. And we became friends because we were like the same age almost, you know, even though she was older, it didn't matter.
Sure.
And so we usually trained in Irvine at Ward Park, and we'd meet our coaches and start running or walking. And we would, sometimes we were in costume if it was the 4th of July, if it was Christmas. Other times we were just in our training clothes. We would go anywhere our coaches decided to train us. So I usually picked her up so we could carpool. And she was always prompt and ready to go. And she'd be the one encouraging me. Like, come on, we got to do this today. So we would train together. And during the week also, we'd pick a trail to run on. And it was, like I said, it was Jackie who prompted me to do our midweek runs. And we'd go somewhere in Lake Forest, and then we'd go for coffee, or we'd go, she always wanted to go for a smoothie afterwards, and sometimes lunch.
Cute.
And so I must tell you that I look forward to those days.
Sure.
I really did. Yeah. And because I knew it was always a good experience, and she was always up.
Yes.
And she was always positive. So
always.
The Puerto Rico half marathon was really quite something. And because Jackie won first place in her age group, and she got a bottle of champagne afterwards, she was so excited. And I remember I was kind of running next to her, and she said, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. And she took off and ran off the course and went to some hotel, and she was gone for like a half an hour. But she found her way back, and she finished the race. So, yeah, she was always, could always surprise you. Yeah. And then we did the Sun River Marathon in Oregon, and that was one to remember again. So, and she placed first in her age group for that one.
Mm. When were these, Vicky? When were these races?
The one, oh my gosh, the Puerto Rico was in, when was that, Vic? Do you remember?
2015, because we were at that one, and I was pregnant with my daughter.
Oh, so. That's right. That was long ago, 2015.
Okay.
And Sun River was, oh, my gosh, right after that. And she had done Maui first. That was her first one, I think. I didn't do Hawaii. So, yeah, 2015, and we did consecutive ones. We did some in around, you know, locally. We did so many, or she did so many. So, what else was I going to say? Anyway, she had a work ethic that I admired, and she loved her margaritas, and we would meet for happy hour. Sometimes we'd go pick her up in Laguna Woods, and she knew the bartender at El Torito, so she said, let's go for happy hour.
I love
so
that.
She would treat me under the table with her margaritas. So, so just those are just some of the memories I have of her.
Oh,
you know,
that.
A lot of it was just our camaraderie and our friendship through team and training, but she was just ready for anything. If
I
you suggested
that.
Something, it was, yes, I'll do it.
Yes, what time tomorrow?
We did the Cabo half marathon. So we did so many together. Mm. And she made friends wherever she went. You know, she just did.
Yeah,
it was so easy for her to make friends. And she made lasting friendships outside of team and training. So anyway, Lauren, I appreciate that you came on and that you're fundraising for LLF. So this kind of hit me a little hard.
I know.
I really miss her.
I know.
Yeah.
So listen, ladies, I have to take a little break. So you're more than welcome to both stay on. I'll be back in like 1 minute.
Okay.
So
thank
stand
you.
By. All right. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. We're going to take a little break and then we will be back. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM. This is Get the Funk Out.
The opinions and views expressed on this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show or other programs on KUCI, please log on to KUCI.org for the latest program schedule.
All right, we are back. How's that for a short break? I want to mention the reason I'm paying tribute to Jackie on today's show is that she really touched a lot of lives. And if you are just tuning in, Jackie Krischer was featured in a documentary about 2016 by Claire Immler, who was a student at the time. And it's called Jackie Krischer, No Limits. And it's about a 5-minute documentary. It is up on my show blog. I brought it forward, so it was posted today again. You can watch the film. There's a Vimeo link. And it's really extraordinary when I think about Jackie, because as you're hearing, she did not start training, running, swimming, all these different things until her 80s. And I remember she's tried some things, I think, in her late 70s. But it's really inspiring, specifically because as we get older, sometimes we get very depressed, we dread getting older, we stop doing things, we worry, you know, we hesitate, we think, oh, we're not supposed to do this at this age. Well, you know, that's really up to you. And if you can physically do something, I would say go for it. And I learned so much from Jackie. She was just so inspiring, and it made me think about aging in a healthy way, mentally, physically, emotionally. So I'm going to bring her granddaughter, Lauren, back on, and her friend, Vicky, who competed in different triathlons. And wow, just extraordinary stories, places that I have not been to. And so here they are again.
Yay. Hi, okay. Janine.
Hi.
How are you?
So we were just wrapping up. Vicky, I want to thank you. You're more than welcome to share anything else, or the two of you can just, you know, share some things. I was just saying how what's really extraordinary from my perspective is as we get older, we're told like you shouldn't do this, or you can't do that, or, you know, you're getting older. And I've been thinking about aging a little differently lately.
Mm-hmm.
What did she teach you, Vicky, about aging and getting older and things like that?
Well, I got to speak in that video that her friend Claire Immler did, and it was Jackie No Limits. And that's exactly right. That's exactly was her philosophy when she did her her triathlon. She had to learn to swim. So I just learned like that because I have leukemia also.
Oh.
So people, you know, even my doctor, you know, I take medicine every day, but I just figure, you know, I have no limits too. I can do, we all age and we all have our aches and pains. and we can just do, like she said, you set your mind to it, and you can pretty much do what you want to do. So I just got that from her. You set your mind to it, you have a positive attitude, mm-hmm. and that makes all the difference in the world.
I love that.
Right. And Vicki and I were just talking while we were on hold about my grandma's CrossFit days. And one thing my grandma told me is, I believe it was her 89th birthday, I want to say.
Okay.
Late 80s at the very least. And she went to the gym that morning, and she was challenged to do 89 deadlifts. And she's telling me this story, and I'm like, you know, in my 30s, I don't even know what a deadlift is.
Right.
And here my grandma, who's like pushing 90, is in the gym doing deadlifts for her birthday. Like, that's how she chose to celebrate her birthday.
Right.
And she was like, I'm going to do it. And she did it. And it, like Vicki said, when she had it in her head and when she was determined to do something, she found a way to make it happen.
I love that.
She's just a really strong, really strong lady.
That's beautiful. Did it make you feel like, Lauren, that there are things you want to try that you held yourself back from doing?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I think that she's a good example in that, and not just in physical aspects, right? But just the ability to put herself out there. Like we've kind of mentioned, she loved to dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
My grandma was the queen of conga lines. Like, she would start a conga line on a catamaran at a wedding, wherever there was music. She's like, I'm starting a conga line.
Hysterical.
And she didn't care.
Cabo.
She didn't care who was watching or what people would think.
Yeah.
She's like, I feel like dancing, and I'm going to dance.
She's
been, my mom always told a story about at a baseball game, they had some kind of box with some company thing, and they were at an Angels game, and the Angels came back like an 11 run deficit or something. And my grandma got so excited, she gets up on the table and she's dancing at this baseball game. Or another dancing story. We have so many.
Share.
She went on the Ellen show, and she went on the Ellen show just like as an audience member.
Yes.
And my aunt is watching this taping of the Ellen show at home.
Okay.
And she sends this video of my grandma dancing in the aisle to the family group chat. And she's like, is this Jackie on the Ellen show? And my grandma's just like boogieing down in the aisle on the Ellen show. And it was just the funniest thing ever. It's probably my favorite video of her.
I need
ever.
To see this. Where is this? I want to watch that.
I'm going to send it to you.
It's okay.
It's hilarious. But she just didn't care who was watching. She just did it.
I love it.
Yeah. So it's that song by Leanne Rimes or whoever, I Hope You Dance. That just sums up kind of her life. I hope you dance.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I love that. I know she said she wanted to hike Mount Kilimanjaro. She told me this back in 2016. And I know then she couldn't because she had some injuries and things like that. Is that something you'd ever want to try, Lauren? No pressure.
Well, she told me she has requested that we scatter her ashes at the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. So I have to start training for a very intense hike. Mount Kilimanjaro is not easy. You know, people, when they think mountain climbing, they're like, oh, Everest, you know, Mount Whitney, whatever mountain you're talking about.
Yeah.
Kilimanjaro, I believe, is pushing 19,000 feet, and it's a very difficult climb.
Yeah.
And she wasn't able to do it, but...
Right, highest mountain in Africa.
I think
right.
so.
And 19,000 feet is nothing
for 2 years.
Wait, hold on, you're both talking. Vicki, what were you saying? Go ahead, Vicki.
Oh, I just said our friend did it, and he's got cerebral palsy. He trained for 2 years. So, you know, when you have your Sherpas with you, but it's definitely a commitment. Definitely a commitment, but you can do it. Like you said,
I'm still young.
Yeah.
She was going to do it at 87 and a half years old or something. So I've got 50 years to get there, but maybe I'll do it a little bit sooner than that. I don't know. But she didn't get to go because she was getting a little bit older, and then COVID kind of hit.
Yes.
And it kind of derailed that, and then we ended up moving her to Texas to be closer to us.
Yeah.
Just as she's getting older, we wanted her to have more time with the kids.
Yes.
And she did still stay pretty active, she wanted to live in Houston, in the big city.
Mm-hmm.
She loved living in the city, so, you know, that's what she wanted to do, but we enjoyed those last few years with her, even if she didn't get to check Kilimanjaro off her list.
That's all right. She's now assigned it to you.
We'll try our best.
But spending time with you and the grandkids was her favorite.
Yes.
You know, her great-grandkids. That was her, she loved that. She really did.
Oh.
Anything she could do with you guys,
mm-hmm.
she loved.
Yeah, she loved those kids. And mm-hmm. I remember Evan was about 1 year old, and she was in Salt Lake with us for his birthday, and she was teaching him how to do burpees. She was, I don't know how old she was at the time. He's 12 now, so
okay.
11 years ago. And she's just in our living room teaching this baby to do burpees, and he's following along. And
wait, what's a burpee? Wait, hold on, Lauren. What's a burpee?
Funniest.
Burpee?
Okay, a burpee. I mean, I'm not into the gym scene, but
okay.
A burpee, I guess, is like you jump up, and then you almost like put yourself into a push-up, I guess, as
right.
you come down.
Oh, okay.
And so it's pretty difficult.
Yes.
I've done burpees every now and then as part of like different workouts, and
yes.
I can't really do more than, I don't know, 10 or 15, and she's over here just like pushing out 40, 50 burpees, and it's astonishing.
Of course she is.
I don't know.
Little 4'8" powerhouse.
Right. She was unbelievable.
So cool. I want to share something with both of you. I might have told you this, Lauren. So years ago when I met her, I introduced myself, and I loved the way she pronounced my name. She'd say, Janine. And she said, with a name like that, you must be French. And so I started doing some digging around lately, and I was with my aunt here locally, and she showed me a Bible that her mother had received from her mother, whose name was Jaquette. So I actually do have relatives that are French.
Oh.
And so Jaquette, I'm named after Jaquette. My aunt Jane is named after Jaquette. And I looked at the family tree and handwritten in this Bible, and it showed Jaquette's siblings, Jaquette's kids, one of which is my grandmother. And I remember meeting Jacques, who went by Jack. Mm. And so, but I never knew anything really about anyone's background. And really, it was Jackie who inspired me to really dig a little deeper.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that. She loved telling stories about her mom and dad and her siblings. It was fun to just hear about kind of what life was like growing up for her. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, growing up during the war, her childhood was a lot different than mine. You know, I grew up in Orange County.
Sure.
Pretty peaceful, not a lot of drama. I mean, it was, you know, pretty idyllic childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to live through World War II in German-occupied France. And so she was really big on making sure that, you know, we kind of understood what her experience was like, and also told us stories about her mom and her dad and kind of what they were like. And so she just loved to kind of connect us back to our ancestors, and
I love
something
that.
I'm really grateful for, because I never got to meet them, you know.
Sure.
And so
yes,
she loved learning about you know, family history and the people that came before us and kind of made us who we are, really, because
definitely
it's kind of important. So.
Yes. Anything interesting that stands out to you about her mom?
Her mom, you know, from the sounds of it, was a very tough lady, and it also sounds like that's where my grandma got her just stubbornness
mm-hmm.
from, if you will.
Sure.
You know, my mom could probably speak to that better. You know, she knew her and spent more time with her, and I never knew my grandma's mom.
Sure.
She passed before I was born, or shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like she did have a big impact on my grandma, along with my grandma's dad.
Okay.
You know, who was a war veteran. And my grandma was also really close with her siblings and
has
multiple stories about them. And, you know, they had, it was a tough time, like a hard time to be a family during a war, you know, but, you know, she made it out again. She was very resilient. She ended up in California, after living, you know, in France, and in her both her kids were born in Paris, and she moved to the States when she was in her early to mid 30s. So she did spend a lot of time away from her mom too, in a different country. So that must have been really hard.
And are any of her siblings alive? Did they recently pass? Did you get to meet any of them?
Yeah, I've met several of them. All but one have passed now. She has a sister, Bernadette, who is still alive, who I'm still in contact with.
Wonderful.
My mom talks to her too, pretty frequently, I would say. But yeah, she's still alive, and they were really close. So it was a hard loss for Bernadette, losing your
sister.
And
then didn't Jackie grow up like in the country? She was outside of Paris, right? Because I think she used to help her, like, not on a farm, kind of. Like, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I thought it was on a farm.
That's exactly right. Yeah, she grew up on a farm. It's a little town called Ambernac, and it's, if anyone's familiar with France, it's near, like, Limoges, Angoulême, Poitiers, so, like, south central-ish France. And so pretty small town. I've been to the house she was raised in.
I love that.
It's a different family that lives there now. But she was able to, like, show me, like, the kitchen where they'd have family dinners and the fireplace that she fell in as a child and got burned. Yeah. You know, like, random little vignettes of her life. And
how special.
So it's still there.
Yes.
You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful little place. But like I said, she lived in the States for most of her life. She was in California for, I think, 55 years. And so,
didn't she survive a plane crash?
Yes, she did. She had a boyfriend at the time who was, a homemade plane enthusiast. And so they were flying to a homemade plane convention in, I think, Wisconsin or something like that. And they crashed in western Kansas, and sent a bunch of chickens flying. I guess they hit a chicken coop, and she broke her neck but didn't know it till she got back to California. So she dealt with a lot of lingering pain.
I remember that.
In her spine and her back, and but that didn't stop her. You know, she's like, I'm going to have a broken neck. I'm going to do my thing, so...
Maybe that
a tough cookie.
I was going to say, maybe that made her want to do even more things, surviving that.
Right. I mean, nobody survives plane crashes like that, you know?
No.
Especially in a homemade contraption.
Yes.
You know, I'm envisioning it in my head, and it's not very secure or safety. You know,
no.
I don't know. So she just survived, and I think my mom said just a couple weeks ago, she's like a cat. She had 9 lives.
Oh, yes.
And she just kept kicking, you know? So
I love that.
It was a miracle, walking miracle, that one.
Lauren, Lauren, that picture that you shared on Facebook, was that taken in France? She's standing on a bridge?
Yes. Yeah, that was when her and I went back. My cousin got married, and so her and I went back to France for a week for the wedding. And that was when we got to kind of drive around and see... like the town she grew up in. We went to, like, the church she was baptized in, and the school where she, you know, she went to school as a kid, the house that she was raised in. And so we even went to the city hall where her parents got married. And, you know, it was a really, really cool experience, because it would be different now to go after she's gone versus going with her.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it was a really special trip.
I love that. So, anything else you'd like to share about Jackie?
Oh, man. Well, like I said, fitting 91 years into just a couple minutes, is tough. You know, I could talk about all the places she got to travel and all the things she got to do. She made, you know, she had so many good friends, mm-hmm. and she was a single mom who raised two kids in a foreign country. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's so much, like there's just, she's had just a miraculous life, and
it's beautiful.
She's just had so many good people that were part of it, and something that was really helpful for me as she was, you know, on hospice in my home and after she passed was just being in touch with her good friends, like Sandrine and Claire, Martine.
Yes.
You know, all of her best friends from so many years of life. And, you know, these people were able to share, you know, their experiences with her. And it really did help me heal.
I'm glad.
Loss in a way. And like all of her Leukemia Society friends, her team and training people, just so many people. And I think that is kind of how you boil down my grandma, is she just, it's like she was everywhere, almost.
Yes, she was.
And just so many people that she had affected. And I'm just so grateful for people for reaching out, sharing experiences, for people who've treated her like they were her family. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I've lived out of California for the last almost 19 years. My parents are also in Texas now, too. So we've had her since 2021, but there was that period of time where, you know, we weren't close by, and we knew that she was being taken care of because she had so many good people in her life and in her corner cheering for her, keeping tabs on her, taking her to lunch, and, you know, just so many people that she loved and that loved her back. And so I've been really grateful for those friendships and for those people, and I don't think they know how much of a support they've been to me, but it's been really special.
That's beautiful. So.
And you can tell also by how much money people have raised in her honor for LLS.
I know.
Isn't that incredible?
Right. It is. It's beautiful.
Right. We do have a fundraiser going right now. Just a small plug. I set up a fundraiser for any. I didn't want flowers coming to the house. I mean, I love flowers, but I didn't know if I was going to be home. We're not doing a memorial until later in the year. We're going to do something in California. There are talks of perhaps doing a 5K to honor her on the day.
Okay.
So there's something in the works.
Great.
But, you know, she would have preferred that instead of, you know, people sending flowers or whatever after she passed, she preferred to have donations made to the Leukemia Society, which was kind of the work of her later years.
Sure.
And so we've raised, last I checked, it was almost $2,100. And
that's great.
When I set it up, I was like, man, I think maybe we can get 1,000. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
And then I woke up one morning and it was like at $1,600.
Nice.
Like, holy.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. So been really, really grateful for the generosity that people have shown. And
that's beautiful.
And I think that just speaks to the impact she's made these people.
And she raised a lot of money.
Oh, I know.
Herself.
I know.
For team and training.
Right.
And we had her out there. She would be out there with her can and collect money at the grocery store.
Like, really?
Oh, my God, Kathy. And, I mean, she just would do, like, this is what I'm going to do. And then I forget she did some other little things, like in front of a grocery store or something.
Probably.
And made her sign. And
yeah.
And then she met people that way. So it was really
amazing.
It was really a lot of fun to watch her do that.
I love it. So listen, we do have to wrap
fundraiser.
Up. We unfortunately do have to wrap up. But I want to thank you both, Lauren and Vicky, for calling in. This has been beautiful. And if anyone has tuned in late, this will be up as a podcast. And keep me posted on the memorial, please, and I'll put the information out there. Okay.
Thank you so much, Janine, for having us. This is
awesome.
My
pleasure.
Thank
you, Lauren.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Vicky. All right. We'll chat soon.
All right. Love to both of you.
Bye-bye.
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 All right. That was my special tribute to Jacqueline Andrea Krischer, who passed away on the 19th. And I was chatting with her friend Vicky and her granddaughter Lauren. And up next, SoCal New Waver is in the house with Pass Forward. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'll be back next week. You've been listening to Get the Funk Out. Have a great week, everyone. I'll see you later.